Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. If you're just getting in your car, Nick Chubb likely becoming a Houston Texan today. We'll see. He's got to pass a physical. We'll talk about that in just a second. Astros take 2 out of 3 from the Guardians over the weekend. Thunder win game 2 of the NBA Finals last night. All right, this is a good question. You and I texted back and forth about this over the weekend. I said to myself, this would be good for the show. The possible scenarios for C.J. Stroud's shoulder soreness. Mm-hmm. Which of the scenarios would generate the highest fear factor? And before we play this, you pointed this out in headlines, I think, Seth, in the previous segment.
Yeah, on Saturday morning, I was kind of going through, and I was like, okay, there's 4 possible scenarios, and I hope that there's one. I hope that the actual scenario is one that a lot of people might not hope for, but there's reasons for that. But I just, I double-checked. And like, all right, let's be sure there's no new news on CJ Stroud's injury or anything. And I went on and explained myself. And one of my viewers on my YouTube stream said, hey, Aaron Wilson's YouTube actually has this information that you're seeking.
Okay.
And he just hasn't written about it, apparently. So I'm going to watch Aaron Wilson's YouTube. And it turns out Aaron Wilson, before we play this audio, spoke to 4 sources. And Aaron is usually one of the main guys that comes out with information like this. This is Aaron Wilson on whether or not CJ Stroud had shoulder surgery.
It's not the AC joint. It's not things he's damaged in the past. It is muscle tightness. So that's entirely different from structural damage or something that you'd have to repair. No, he did not have surgery this offseason.
Okay.
Yeah. It was right out there, man.
it's like tripping over the Holy Grail. Like, oh, there it is, right there.
I texted him. I was like, you're an SOB, because now I realize it's mandatory. I got to watch Aaron Wilson's YouTube every day.
Yeah.
So I trust that at the very least 4 people told Aaron Wilson, or at least his sources told him, that he didn't. Who knows? Maybe they're lying, but it seems likely that he did not have surgery.
I feel like Aaron's pretty plugged in with that Mulligetta camp, too.
Yeah.
So, which is that's CJ's agent and Deshaun Watson's agent.
Still doesn't necessarily make me feel better about it, though.
Let's entertain the hypotheticals here, okay? I thought you laid this out really, really well. The 4 different scenarios that it could be, just in terms of the fear factor it would generate. I'll take Aaron Wilson's report as substance, as what it is, that he didn't. But what would we feel best about, or what would you feel best about? Because I think you point out that the one you would have felt best about may not be the one that other people do. So let's go through these kind of in order. No surgery, okay? Let's say that CJ
just
did not
genuine have soreness and tightness.
Just soreness, just what it's being reported as. Just genuine. So what is your fear factor right now on what the current report is from Aaron Wilson on this?
It makes me a little bit, that makes me nervous, because it's something that could theoretically just pop up again at some point. The one part about that, though, is, we don't know, and I would suspect that this might be the kind of tightness that if it happened during the regular season, maybe you lay off during practice or something, but he's going to play with it.
Yeah.
So that's it's uncommon, as Clint pointed out on our show last week. Quarterbacks are not like pitchers. There's not nearly the same amount of stress on your shoulder and elbow, and that the tendonitis and the overuse and everything isn't as much a concern, especially when CJ has his pure throwing motion as he does. That makes me nervous.
Okay. So that's number one. Number two, no surgery, but gremlins in the shoulder. Like something is floating around in there.
Yes, or there is some kind of genuine issue that leads to the muscle soreness, whatever it might be. That makes me the most nervous of all, frankly, because this is the classic thing where a guy in the offseason, you find out in week five of the regular season, hey, this player's going on IR. Turns out it was something that he could have had surgery on in the offseason, but they decided to just play it out. Remember when J.J. Watt could have had back surgery, chose not to have it, and then ended up going on IR? I want to say Carson Wentz had a similar situation. Was it
maybe
Carson Wentz?
I don't remember.
Oh, no, it was I'll remember who it was. It was another quarterback in the past what's his name? Who went from Miami to the Aggie, who went from Miami to Tennessee.
Tannehill.
Thank you. Yeah. Ryan Tannehill. It was Ryan Tannehill. It could have addressed it in the offseason, chose not to have surgery, and then ended up having issues during the season.
Yep.
That, I think, honestly, that makes me the most nervous of all. If it is something that is, and now Aaron said it's not structural, but if perhaps the Astros are using the same radiologist, or the Texans are using the same radiologist as the Texans.
We got to wait for the inflammation to go down. Yeah.
Don't worry, it's just inflammation. Like,
yes.
All right.
Now this one is the one that you told me would make you the most nervous. Would be if
this would make me happiest. Actually.
Oh, the happiest. I'm sorry, the happiest. Yeah, yeah. My bad. But the happiest is this is the one that would have pleased you the most. Is if he actually did have some procedure done. And it was to remove the gremlins, but he's still just recovering from removing the gremlins in his shoulder.
Some kind of minor surgery.
Why is
a very minor, whether it was gremlins or something else, just some kind of minor surgery, because then it all makes sense.
Yeah.
That, hey, whatever the issue, whatever was causing the issues, you've addressed it, and it was minor surgery. So, yes, take the utmost caution as he's recovering from it. It looks like that's not the case, according to Aaron Wilson's report. Yeah. So it just looks like, all right, he's got soreness and tightness, and I just have to trust that this isn't that big a deal, and if it was the regular season, he would have played through it.
The other scenario, absent of any reports, and now we at least have a report they didn't have surgery, but we're just playing games here. The other one would be he had surgery, and it was for way more than gremlins. It was a structural thing. It was a major surgery for his shoulder.
Right, yeah, and that would be, obviously for all those same reasons, I would worry about it. I don't think CJ, if he had major surgery, we have Aaron Wilson's report that it wasn't surgery, but B, I don't think he would have been out there shooting threes or at that charity event or shooting the free throw at the rock. I don't think he wouldn't be out there handing the ball off and being otherwise pretty active.
Yeah, no, you're right. He is in uniform and with a helmet on out there doing warm-ups
and
whatnot.
He was at Joe Mixon's camp, right?
He was over the weekend.
Doing stuff with the kids, playing defense against the kids, all that stuff. So scenario four, that he had major surgery, that seems like the least, very, very least likely scenario.
According to the report from Aaron Wilson, the scenario is the first of the four scenarios you just laid out. No surgery, just genuine soreness. So we'll see what happens. One more here. This was Tom Pelissero discussing C.J. Stroud's situation by invoking the name of Dak Prescott. Take a listen.
I have not heard anything to make me believe that this is going to be something long term. We've seen various reports saying it's his pec, it's his shoulder. DeMeco Ryans went full NHL coach. You know, John Cooper just saying it is general body soreness. Whatever it is, it's enough for them to not have C.J. Stroud on the field. At this time, doing anything in terms of throwing the football here. But let's see, as we get into training camp here, what the reps look like. I can remember other times, for instance, with Dak Prescott, you remember when there was all kinds of, questions and panic about Dak Prescott having, limited reps to get another MRI. And it was like, no, I kept being told he's going to be fine. We're just, being cautious because he pushes himself too hard. And sure enough, Dak was good to go. That was a couple of years ago. It was good to go at the start of the season. It could well be the same thing with C.J. Stroud.
The funny thing is, Seth, this whole topic goes away if CJ throws at minicamp tomorrow.
All the hand wringing
that we've been doing since 10 days ago, Wednesday. It was the Wednesday I left for vacation. all the hand-wringing we've done since then just kind of goes away if he throws a minicamp tomorrow.
And honestly, though, it doesn't for me, because we saw that CJ had something going on last year. And a large part of it was just due to the situation that he was in. But he did have some curiously inaccurate throws that we didn't see much of in his rookie year. And CJ himself cited that the injuries at least played a factor in that. He called it a horrible excuse, but he didn't deny that he's been dealing with injuries. That part still makes me nervous in that, all right, yes, he took a lot of hits last year, for sure. But I don't know if it still makes me nervous that at this point of the year, he's got some kind of tightness in his shoulder, having seen that it was an issue for him last year.
All right, we're going to do Acknowledge Me in about 10 or 12 minutes here, as we do every Monday, acknowledging big performances and stories from over the weekend. So this was this morning at 5 a.m. our time on our sister station, 92.3 The Fan up in Cleveland. Of course, the Texans, in case you're just getting in your car and you missed it yesterday, the Texans appear to be on the cusp of signing Nick Chubb to a one-year contract in free agency. Nick Chubb, reports are he'll be in town to take a physical today. If he passes the physical, he'll become a Houston Texan just in time for mandatory minicamp tomorrow. Nick Chubb was revered up in Cleveland, absolutely revered up in Cleveland. So I really enjoy Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima are the morning hosts on our sister station up in Cleveland. Ken, at least, not a big fan of the Houston Texans. And I think not a fan of the fact that the Texans in a couple of years have kind of flipped into what the Browns envisioned themselves being when they traded for Deshaun Watson, you know, complete culture change with the Texans in a perennial playoff team, this and that. This was the lead into their show. So they come out of the break, they do their sports report at the top of the hour, and in comes the intro music for the Ken Carmen show with Anthony Lima. And the very first thing that they play coming in is Aaron Wilson's report on KPRC last night about Nick Chubb.
The Texans are bringing in veteran running back Nick Chubb for a visit on Monday, and I'm told as long as he passes his physical, he'll be signed to a contract. So I expect this to happen. It's probably going to be a one-year contract. I don't expect it to be that expensive.
This is Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Audio courtesy of Guardians TV, ABC, and KPRC in Houston. Good morning.
Morning, Kenny.
Are you going to root for Nick Chubb in Houston?
Yeah, probably. Why not?
I don't know. I'm torn. I want to root for Nick, but man, I really don't like the Texans.
Oh. Yeah, but I like C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, me too.
So you like the quarterback and the running back, but you don't like them?
Yeah. I think that's always a thing.
Are there a lot of teams that fit that example?
No, there isn't.
But you hate their coach, right?
DeMeco Ryan?
Yeah.
Why do I hate him?
Exactly. So I don't hate him. The coach, the running back, and the quarterback.
Honestly, it's like, I don't like looking at them like they're like a model franchise.
We all know why you hate them. It's the same reason that a lot of people hate them.
Tell me why.
She got grifted.
Bingo. Thank you very much. Yep. That's why. And it's like, well, and then the owner's wife was like, thanks for the picks. I'm like, you guys want to go back over some of the fine print? Some of that stuff that was going down there? We want to do this? Hold on there.
Okay, y'all are the ones that traded for him when the fine print became the big print, all right?
Wait a second. I was having fun until they brought Hannah into this. Yeah, I'll go through the fine print, and I'll also remember that there were a bunch of bogus reports that tried to make it look like the Texans had set up some kind of hothouse over there at the Houstonian,
and
that they were involved in some... Save it.
Yeah,
the fine print. Oh, like the Browns didn't go into that with eyes wide open. Is Ken seriously trying to act like the Browns were somehow duped into thinking that they had actually gotten some pillar of society, but the Texans held out information?
That's interesting. I didn't hear it. That's interesting.
The fine print meant.
Well, my interpretation of the fine print was that you're not any better than we are. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like you know, we knew about it. You knew about it too, probably, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. I didn't look at it as they they got the Browns got Duke. I mean, the Sean stories were all out there at that point. I mean,
right? No, no. But I would imagine he's saying that like the Texans were somehow covering up for him.
Yeah.
They probably should have investigated more. They should have investigated more quickly and aggressively. But and all of that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But once it was all out there, the Texans moved on from Deshaun Watson.
They did.
I don't think anybody in that building ever expected to get the King's ransom that they ended up actually getting.
No, no.
I think there was probably a little bit of double taking going on when they're like, this is really what the Browns want.
No, we'll take it. Yeah, and our look.
Now
and
that
our,
we know all this stuff.
Our owner's wife is not sitting there doing some sort of dissertation on the benefits of counseling either at training camp. D. Haslam, remember that whole thing about how counseling and you don't realize like with counseling it takes time with
to cure a problem that doesn't actually exist.
Right,
there's no problem.
Yeah,
it's gonna take a long time to get rid of this problem that doesn't actually exist.
Save that part. And it's D'Amico. It's not D'Amico.
D'Amico Ryan.
Yeah.
It's not D'Amico.
That's a D'Amico. Yeah. That's on the sly and subtle little shot.
Oh, you think? Just the
mess? How does he not like D'Amico?
No, I think their producer was being sarcastic.
Was one of the guys
he liked. I think they were being sarcastic. He likes D'Amico Ryans. This I know from listening. I listen to that station probably more than I listen to most other out of market stations. A lot of times because of things like this, there's a lot of connective tissue between the Browns and the Texans, up to and including the pick that they used on Nick Chubb was the pick that the Texans stapled to Brock Osweiler on the way out the door back
That's
in
right.
2017. So circle of life may be happening today. But this I do know, like that, especially with Ken, who we listened to, he was the main voice we heard in that cut. He hates the fact that the Texans culture gets brought up as a real big example of a massive culture shift with an NFL team. You know, like that is, and there is a good culture here now. It's not a championship culture yet, but it is a significantly better culture than they have in Cleveland. That's for sure.
It is, and I wonder. I mean, part of it too, going to the Osweiler stuff, going back to them. Like at one point, Osweiler was being looked at as they were trying to talk themselves into Osweiler up there during training camp that year, when in reality it was just a salary. It was an NBA style trade. Basically
a
salary
pick.
Cap purge, and they bought it with a pick.
They bought a pick. The Brock Osweiler, for those who don't remember, Brock Osweiler had like, you know, 10, 15 million guaranteed coming to him. And the Texans said, "Hey, look, we'll give you this second round pick if you take this contract off of our hands."
Yeah.
It was essentially what it was. So,
as far as the Nick Chubb stuff itself goes, I think that it's important for people to realize that Nick Chubb had a devastating injury in 2023. He came back last year, ended up playing midway through the season, and was not his former self. And yes, the Browns were a bad team, but there was way more to it than that. His yards after contact, all the broken tackles, all those things that used to be hallmarks of Nick Chubb, he just wasn't as explosive. But he was also coming off of a devastating knee injury, the kind of knee injury that you might have, it wasn't nearly, you know, like it wasn't even in the cards that he was 100% going to play last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of potential upside there. But he's also, you know, he's at the age where Steven Jackson was when all of a sudden Steven Jackson got a groin injury and just fell off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Jackson was 29 years old when that happened.
Yeah.
And so the contract the Texans give out, the most important thing for me right now is what Diana Russini reported, was that it'll be a heavily incentive-laden contract and that other teams had offered more.
Yeah.
So they're going to get him at a fair price. And it's all about, all right, look, if it doesn't work out, we didn't spend an arm and a leg to get him. If it does work out, there's huge upside there.
I think this is another guy too, Seth, as you pointed out earlier in the show, that is just, if he's healthy and can be productive, certainly productive to the level that they're going to be paying him, if not more, that just having him as a person in the building, there's a reason why they hate losing this guy up in Cleveland so badly, is he was one of the faces of the turnaround for that franchise from the two seasons where they went 1-31 over two seasons. He was one of the pillars of that franchise. And I'll point out, him coming back from that catastrophic knee injury last year, when he came back, the Browns were 1-5, and it was very clear that this Deshaun Watson thing was still not working out. I don't think Deshaun had suffered the season-ending injury yet. Maybe he had. I don't remember. But, man, Nick Chubb came back and played for a team that was dregs last year. I think there's a lot of guys. The reason I bring this up, I think there's a lot of guys coming back from that catastrophic knee injury that would have, especially ones that had enough goodwill banked with his franchise to where he probably could have done this and said, look, guys, you guys, we're 1-5 and we're going nowhere. I'm going to come back and put another 110 or 130 carries on my odometer heading into free agency. I'm going to stay. Did you see that knee injury that I had last year? He could have very easily said, this is going to be a full season I need just to get my legs back under me. The guy came back and carried the ball 11, 16, 15, 11, 20, 11. He's getting double-digit carries on a superbly crappy team.
And I think that's where part of the appeal is that Joe Mixon is here. Yeah. I think that if it's a one-year deal, it's a prove-it deal. The Texans, this is another big part of it, Sean. The Texans have shown, as you brought up with Dalton Schultz earlier, the Texans have already showed that, man, we will extend you if you come in on this prove-it deal. It doesn't have to be that you come in and then you're off to somewhere else. That the Texans might very well say, yep, look, man, you proved that you're a closer to the old version of yourself. We like having a 1-2 punch there.
Yep.
And the upside, there's nothing but positive upside for both the team and the player here. And there are a lot of reasons, even though the run game was so decrepit last year and the offensive line was a big part of it, there are a lot of things that probably just felt right for him. Yeah, the fact that the Browns fan bases and radio hosts are upset about losing Nick Chubb, it's kind of like what I do with college quarterbacks coming out of the draft.
Yeah.
I like to check my blind spots with the fan base. Smart. I like to say, like, okay, wait, maybe I'm missing something about Will Levis. Let me hear how they feel about Will Levis in Kentucky. And there's a whole lot of like, Kellen Mond was the same way because people would say, no, Seth, you're underselling Kellen Mond. So I'd ask Aggies.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I love him, but no, not the guy.
Well, and I think, and conversely, all those Longhorns that were in the first round of this year's draft, we appealed to Longhorns and they loved Kelvin Banks.
Matthew Golden. Yeah.
Some questions on the text page, and we'll get to acknowledge me. Do you think Chubb is more likely a replacement for Pierce or competition for Pierce?
I think, okay, it might be comparing apples to oranges there. I think that Dameon Pierce is very much in a genuine competition for a roster spot. I think they're going to give him a chance. Now, maybe somebody else offers up something in a trade that's just way more than that they think is a really good deal. But I think Dameon Pierce is going to be given a chance with Nick Caley to see how he's grasping things, to see if he looks like a different version of himself during training camp. With Nick Chubb, I think Nick Chubb's almost in a competition against himself. If I think there's a very good chance that if he's not, he could be on the PUP to start the season or something. They might take it very, very slow and just say, hey, we want to put the best version of you out there.
Yeah.
So it's not a direct competition. But yes, it does. But it makes the running back room that much more crowded.
One of the guys on this team, if they sign Chubb today, one of the guys in that room that we've been talking about this morning will not be on this team. Because I think people mix Dari Ogunbowale into this conversation, and I think Dari is viewed as almost more of an orange against these other apples than anything else because of what he contributes on special teams. We saw they needed him as a kicker at one point against Tampa Bay a few years ago. I don't think that's I think there's a little bit of value there with
him. Gotta have a backup. Did you watch Kaimi in the playoffs? Yeah,
you gotta have but if in game type of stuff. I don't know how likely this scenario is. I could totally see a scenario where Dameon Pierce gets traded during training camp at some point.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of people that still like Dameon Pierce around the league or intrigued by him.
Yes, and we'll look at the last 2 years as a lack of a scheme fit more so than Dameon Pierce lost any. You may watch him run. Like he had a 90-yard touchdown in week 18 last year. There's nothing wrong with him physically. Right. Like it was a scheme thing.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to Acknowledge Me. Big performances from over the weekend, big stories from over the weekend that we will get to. Let's start with the Astros. Brandon Walter. How about this, man? 2 starts, 11 innings pitched, only give up a couple runs. He gave up the 2-run homer yesterday, but pitched 6 innings. Here was Joe Espada after the game on Brandon Walter and his second spot start for the Astros.
He's deceptive. You know, he's funky. He's got a good, you know, repertoire of pitches. He keeps you off balance. He was efficient today. That was a really nice job.
You see, do you know long-term plans for him? I mean, is he in the rotation now for the meantime?
Well, he did a really nice job today. So now we're gonna evaluate and see what the next 13 days going to look like. But he's definitely in the mix. He did a really nice job. He has come up here and pitched really well.
If they have a 6-man rotation, he's got to be in it right now. Brandon Walter does, just based on the number. I mean, Ronel Blanco's out for the year. Hayden Wisniewski's out for the year. Spencer Arrighetti, the reports are he's not going to be back until July sometime at the earliest, although he's coming along. You got Hunter, you got Framber, you've got Lance McCullers, and then you're piecing it together after that with these guys, Colton Gordon, Brandon Walter, guys like this right now.
And I think right now Colton Gordon he intrigues me more than Ryan Gusto. I think the potential for him, his aggressiveness, everything else, that feels like the kind of guy, kind of like with Spencer Arrighetti, different style, but still you can see where that upside is.
Yep.
So the 6-man rotation for now, we've been through this enough times that it's – for me, it's more about just continuing to – the guy I'm watching most closely is Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
If Lance McCullers continues on his current trajectory, then you've got 3 guys you feel really good about, and then you've got a few more guys that you're not quite sure about, including Spencer Arrighetti and how he comes back from injury.
Yeah.
That, okay, who is the fourth guy come September and October? I don't know, but they've got – there's a lot of potential for guys to really emerge.
Yep. Jake Myers – I don't know. We got to do a circle of trust here at some point again. And as you guys know, I had Jake out. Seth had Jake in, and Ben Gary, our producer, was the tie-breaking vote, voted him out. He continues to get hits. He had a 4-hit game yesterday that might have been one of the most Punch and Judy 4-hit games that I've ever seen. They were all lollipop hits, man. These were the exit velos on Jake Myers' 4 hits yesterday. 66 miles per hour, 63 miles per hour, 60, well, round up, 62 miles per hour. And then he roped a 72 mile an hour blooper in the ninth inning. He had to go 4-for-4 yesterday. That's not easy to do, man. That's almost as hard as going 4-for-4 with 4 line drives. In fact, I might submit it's even harder to hit 4 lollipops like that and have them all land somewhere where you're getting on base. Jake Myers. So Jake Myers, thumbs up to you.
You know what though, Sean?
What's that?
Hey, look, but he's fast on the base path.
He is fast.
And that's one thing that they're making do with is some of the speed. I mean, Jeremy Peña, the hit he had yesterday.
Yeah.
There's no lack of speed or hustle out there on the base path.
They're a scrappy team, as you pointed out. And look, here's the thing about Jake Myers going 4-for-4. You know what you need to do to go 4-for-4? Make contact.
Yes.
And
yes,
he is making contact
and,
this year.
And Sean, if, so look, the big question with Jake Myers was going to be, hey, He was doing the exact same thing through May of the end of May last year.
Yeah.
So you and Ben and all the other haters out there.
Haters.
Including a little part in the back of my brain. we're wondering, all right, what's going to happen come June? Yeah. Okay, we'll see June. So we decided on Juneteenth, we will decide
whether or not
Jake Myers. On Juneteenth is the day we decide whether the war is over against Jake Myers.
Nothing says Juneteenth like Jake Myers, right?
Yes.
Right.
So in the month of June so far, 381 batting average, 935 OPS.
He's on track, dude. This will be if he's in 381 on Juneteenth. This will be the least dramatic circle of trust selection ever. I promise you that.
Slugging 476. I know you're worried about his power. Slugging 476 in June.
That's pretty good, man. That's good. I'm an Astros fan. I'm rooting for the guy. Let me give Brian McTaggart, the beat writer for the Astros on MLB.com, a little acknowledgement as well. Great tweet. Jake Myers has more soft hits today than Air Supply.
Supply more 70s or 80s?
I think like late 70s, probably bled into the 80s. Probably still playing.
I called Simon and Garfunkel a castrated version of rock and roll last week, and one of our listeners got really, really menstrual about it.
Where are you on Air Supply?
I love Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah. I like Air Supply. I like soft rock.
I do too.
I do. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I do too.
There's nothing wrong with it, man.
SiriusXM brings that yacht rock channel around like two or three times a year.
We live in an era where you have to present yourself as the ultimate alpha male on social media.
Yeah.
What are you, a soy boy? Right. I don't know. Yeah, I like some soy.
I like Air Supply, but I like the death metal version of Air Supply. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I can have a soy protein smoothie and still kick your ass.
That's
what kind of alpha male does that make you? Chump.
All right. Chris Conley, former Texans wide receiver. Why are we acknowledging Chris Conley? A, it's a slow day and a slow weekend. B, he is retiring from the NFL after 10 years to study film at Georgia. So I respect anybody. 10 years, Seth, feels like that. I mean, you played 10 years in the NFL. Did you have a goal? Like, Chris Myers played 10 years in the NFL and then retired when he still had something left in the tank because he wanted to say he played 10 years in the NFL. You know,
right,
like the 10 was a key number for him.
Yeah.
I don't know if Conley had the same
goal. Conley is one of the more thoughtful guys I've ever
interviewed.
I really enjoyed getting to know him.
That's why
I think that it doesn't surprise me that he's retiring to start his own production company.
Yep.
He's retiring. He's going to go to film school and probably, start his own production company or something. But he's going about it in kind of a methodical way. I really liked Chris Conley.
I did too. He'll probably always be best known here in Houston as the guy who, I like to think he
stepped
in front. I like to think Justin Reed was about to swing on David Culley, and Chris Conley stepped in front of Culley to take the punch in his face.
Chris Conley very much felt, in an otherwise forgettable era of Houston Texans football, I felt like he might have been one of the only adults in the organization. He was one of those kids. I call him a kid. Like, when I was talking to him for the first time, I was like, oh, this guy's way more mature than I am. Mm-hmm. Ah, crap.
Yeah.
What am I doing
26.
With my life?
Yeah. So we acknowledge him. 10-year career, starting his own film company. That's good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
Study film. He's going to study film.
He's going
starting his own film company.
Study film. Well, and then, as you said, probably will go on. He's going to study at his alma mater, Georgia. That's where he's going to go study film. All right, Pac-Man Jones. I don't like to acknowledge arrests, but boy, when a streak like this is going on, you just have to acknowledge the diligence that Pac-Man Jones goes about his criminal activities. He was arrested over the weekend for public intoxication. That makes 3 years in a row that Pac-Man Jones has gotten a public intoxication arrest. The guy's the Joe DiMaggio of public intoxication. 3 years in a row, his fourth arrest since 2021. In an NFL where this day and age, where off-season crime has been completely minimized now, like the NFL has done a really good job through its personal conduct policy and system of driving down the amount of crime in the off-season. It's good to see Pac-Man Jones out there making sure to keep content alive for bloggers like myself on the Houston Press.
Public intoxication is... I found my rabbit hole for the afternoon, because whenever somebody gets arrested for public intoxication, it's not that they got arrested for being drunk. It's that they got arrested for being obnoxiously
unruly,
drunk.
It wasn't,
yeah, like that. I don't know the last time I heard of somebody getting arrested for public intoxication because it was like, whoa, hey, bartender, I gotta tell you, I'm gonna go call a cab. I'm really drunk. And the bartender calls the cops. Yeah. You know, and the cops show up. They're like, wait a second. You weren't ready to drive home, so you called an Uber? Unacceptable.
Yeah. You have the right to remain silent.
I feel like it should be phrased irresponsibly drunk public intoxication, whatever it was.
3 years in a row, man. Pac-Man Jones. Good job, Pac-Man.
Is he on the McAfee show still?
I haven't seen him on there in a while. Darius Butler's on there all the time.
All the shows that you would want to, you know, if your one issue is being publicly intoxicated, you'd want to be on the show where the actual host and named the guy that show is named for is might have swallowed a handful of gummies at any given time.
Right. That'd be the show to be publicly intoxicated on. People texting in, Yacht Rock goes hard. It does. I like Yacht Rock. Big Jeez, shock to everybody out there, I'm sure.
That's what the people did in the 70s. They did a bunch of blow and then tacked the hell out of a yacht out in a choppy sea.
Text message, soy boy and being menstrual have now been added to my vocabulary. Thank you, Seth, they said on there. Chris Conley was the Mills Lane of the locker room. Mills Lane is a boxing referee, people. He's got a very interesting voice, a very gravelly voice. Keep texting in, 713-572. A lot of people weighing in on Nick Chubb, and we'll talk more about that later on in the show. But we'll see. Nick Chubb reportedly in town to take a physical, and if he passes it, sign a deal, a one-year deal with the Houston Texans. Nick Chubb signed by the Texans, to add talent and depth. It's awesome. He's physically fit, hopefully. He's definitely physically fit. The question is, how are his knees and foot working, right?
Right, yeah. Being He's physically in shape. Fit is different. There are a lot of people who are physically fit.
Right.
Seeing Amon Green at the draft?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he was up on stage at the draft announcing a Packers pick. I'm like, wow, he is physically fit. But it doesn't mean he's ready to go out and play NFL football at a high level.
No, I'm glad you brought up Amon Green's name, too, because I saw that last night with his potential Nick Chubb signing. Like, ooh, I'm getting Amon Green feels over this.
Yeah.
This is going to be a one-year prove-it-for-a-few-million-bucks deal, I'm fairly certain. Amon Green, they gave 4 years to Amon Green to be the bell cow back.
And it was one of those classic scenarios where, hey, Mike Sherman's the offensive coordinator. Yeah. He likes Amon Green from his time in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And that's the most perilous of all signings with an aging running back.
Yes.
They're like, oh, yeah, I know this guy. I can vouch for him. Let's give him a huge deal. This will be the opposite of that because it's very much – this is way closer to Carmelo Anthony. And this is where I worry about – I see a lot of people saying this is going to be the most powerful 1-2 punch in the backfield in the NFL. He has to prove that it could be. Yes, that's the upside. But he has to prove that he can get back to that level of play because he wasn't that same guy last year after a horrible, horrible injury in 2023. And then he broke his foot at the end of the year. So the upside is there. But just like when the Rockets had Carmelo Anthony, people got really, really excited. It was a one-year, $2 million deal. And when the Rockets hit the eject button on Carmelo Anthony, people were acting like it was a huge failure. Like, no, it was a $2 million experiment. It was a great move by the Rockets, but they cut ties when they realized it wasn't going to work out.
Yep.
So I am excited about the potential upside, but we got a long ways to go before we know whether we have close to the previous version of him or not.
DeAndre Hopkins was on the Daily Dose podcast sometime in the last several days with Dos Congo, who is he's DeAndre Hopkins' trainer. He trained Andre Johnson. He had some interesting things to say about the first time he met Andre Johnson and does he feel like he should go into the Texans Ring of Honor? We'll hear from former Texans great DeAndre Hopkins coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to mlb.com/play/official rules.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so DeAndre Hopkins was on the Daily Dose podcast. Dose Congo is the name of DeAndre Hopkins' trainer, trained Andre Johnson, trained several players. It was about an hour long conversation. It was interesting. It was really good. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, Dos Congo's an interesting dude.
Yes.
That's he's worked with a lot of Texans through the years, training him and everything.
Very much. I enjoyed it. He had good energy on that conversation with Hopkins that they did. There were two cuts that jumped out to me. One, I mean, that podcast came to my attention through one of the cuts that we're going to play here in a second. I found this interesting. DeAndre Hopkins talking about, you know, drafted 27th overall out of Clemson in 2013, coming onto a team where Andre Johnson was the man for a decade. And he talked about the first time ever meeting Andre Johnson.
At first, when I met Dre, I was intimidated because I'm like, damn, this is a big-ass dude, and we play the same position. Mm-hmm. And so initially I thought that I needed to be like Andre, you know, like his size, his strength, and, you know, just be able to do things he do.
Yeah.
What I love about Dre could tell that, you know, I admired him, man. He put his arms around me and was like, this is how you do this. This is how you perfect your craft. This is how you work out in the off season to last this long. These are the things you don't do. These are the places you don't go in Houston. These are the people you hang out with in Houston.
Yeah, he was a big brother. He was funny, man, Andre told a story once. I can't remember if he did this on a podcast or if I heard him tell it, or if he at an event. But just about how DeAndre in his rookie year would just sometimes get frustrated and be like, "Man, why don't they just throw the ball up? Just throw the ball up." And Andre would say, "Listen, man, sometimes you just gotta listen. It just doesn't work like that in the NFL. You gotta set these things up." It was almost like that Spike the Bulldog with his little sidekick where just that DeAndre was the little chihuahua hopping around.
Yeah,
that was. You think about scenarios that DeAndre could have gone to, and probably, man, for him, because remember there was a sketchy report about what happened at the combine and everything. Like, you just don't know exactly what he might have been if he didn't have an influence like Andre Johnson on the team when he got there.
Yeah, it was a really interesting conversation, and I thought, and we'll get to the Ring of Honor part here in a second. As I'm listening to him talk about Andre Johnson, I'm thinking about this version of the Texans that just drafted two young receivers that they are, you know, they're very high on. They're very high on Jaden Higgins. They're very high on Jalen Knoll. Stephon Diggs isn't in there anymore. Tank Dell is, you know, he'll probably be around but not playing. Even guys like Robert Woods not in that room anymore. You know what I mean? Like, is Nico Collins, you know, 5 years in now, is Nico Collins going to be, does he need to be, to Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll what Andre Johnson was to a young DeAndre Hopkins?
I'll tell you what. Nico's kind of just all of a sudden developing into an elder statesman type of role.
And it's the reason he got the extension. He gets highlighted as a guy now that works like Andre Johnson. I don't know if anybody worked like Andre, but he's an example that gets used all the time, Nico is.
DeAndre is fascinating because if you look at the Ring of Honor for the Texans, the two guys in the Ring of Honor are Hall of Famers. That am I missing anybody?
Well, Bob McNair's in, but you're talking about players.
The two players are Hall of Famers.
Undoubtedly.
Just take a quick guess. Including tight ends, where is DeAndre Hopkins on the all-time receptions list?
For the NFL or for the Texans?
Yeah.
The NFL. I would guess all-time receptions, probably top 20, I would say, right?
Yeah, he's 16th.
Yeah.
16th in all-time receptions.
Yeah.
And that the only two receivers ahead of him, and this is going to make perfect and total sense when you hear it, because this is the guy that people comped him to. Anquan Boldin is one of them. Than Reggie Wayne and Hines Ward. So, like,
that,
I think
that are not Hall of Famers.
That are not in the Hall of Fame as receivers that have more receptions.
Yeah.
He's going to, if he plays this year, he'll surpass Hines Ward, likely on the all time receptions list. And I don't know. It's a tough one because, and you know, Hines Ward had the benefit of playing on some really good teams.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Reggie Wayne had the benefit of playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yep.
And Anquan Boldin might be the closest comp as far as Anquan Boldin didn't necessarily have great, didn't have great quarterbacks, but just consistently got it done. But he was on great teams.
Yeah.
DeAndre is in the, he is 100% in the hall of what might have been.
Yep.
Because he was a skeleton key for quarterbacks.
Yes.
It didn't matter. Brock Osweiler, this is how bad Brock Osweiler was. Brock Osweiler was the only quarterback that DeAndre Hopkins didn't turn into the best version of that quarterback.
Yeah.
Like he just, it didn't matter who was throwing him the ball, but he just never had a steady stream of really good play on a competitive team with a great quarterback the way some of these other Hall of Famers did.
He fits my criteria, which is I'm way more about being among or the best at your position for a short period of time than just piling up receptions over the course of a career. That's why the three names you just named, he's ahead of Hines Ward for me. He's probably ahead of Reggie Wayne for me based on the quarterbacks that he had versus Reggie Wayne, and he's ahead of Anquan Boldin for me. DeAndre Hopkins was a first-team All-Pro three times in like a four-year period or something. Like I don't have his Wikipedia page up, but he was thought to be one of the two best receivers in football for multiple years in a row. So I think he's in that conversation. Receiver gets really tricky because there's going to be a logjam at receiver, and B, not to get too nerdy about it, but the Hall of Fame has kind of changed how they do the voting, and it's going to start to get more exclusive here. I want to make sure we get this other cut in about Hopkins. Here was DeAndre Hopkins being asked by Dos Congo about the possibility of him going into the Texans Ring of Honor.
Do you think DeAndre Hopkins should be included into the Ring of Honor? That can be the Q&A or
man,
the yes percentage.
Hey, I didn't say it, but you know, I'm not going to say I don't think about that as well. You know, I am human, of course. You know, I love Houston. I still live here. My family live here. So, you know, of course, that would be cool, man, you know, just to be in the Houston Ring of Honor one day.
I feel like,
even though I only played, what, 7 years here?
Yeah, but those seven years.
That's short, man. That's not a long time to be on a team, man. Seven years.
Let's put it this way.
I don't know, man. You know, now I think about it. Do I deserve to be in the ring on this?
let's put it this way. When I go out, if I ever go out or I walk around, I still see a lot of DeAndre Hopkins jerseys and I see Andre Johnson jerseys.
Yeah.
I don't see a new wave of jerseys. So, in my opinion, that's where I think it should be at.
Okay.
I hear you.
Dose did a great job with this conversation. That last part's just not true. There's CJ Stroud jerseys everywhere.
Yeah, not seeing a new wave of jerseys.
Yeah, he's taking up for his guy. I get it.
It is. I like, because I think he is in, he's in the, I don't think he'll probably get into the Hall of Fame because of all those factors that we just talked about. Yeah. But he's 100% in that conversation about, it'll be a debate topic because depending on how long he plays, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
The numbers stack up. I feel like a lot of any of the bad feelings that people have about DeAndre Hopkins only came because of the Bill O'Brien, Jack
Easterby era. You're talking about
here. And what came afterwards. And it was one of those things where social media plays a bigger role these days. And you know, DeAndre ended up fighting people on social media in a way that made it more adversarial than it needed to be.
Trust me, I know.
We looked at because I think there's people in the fan base that kind of forget how, like, it wasn't DeAndre's fault that he got traded for a bag of peanuts and a decrepit running back.
That's right.
But yet, because of the aftermath, kind of like with Chandler Parsons, you know, when Chandler Parsons first left, everybody was like, well, not that he's in the same conversation player caliber wise.
Sure. No, I know what you mean, though.
In terms of sentiment,
yes.
It was more just the stuff that happened afterwards that all of a sudden people started to dislike Chandler Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps fueled by some sports radio hosts, but still.
Maybe.
We didn't, when he first left, we were like, ah, crap. Wow, they were going after Chris Bosh. I get it, but we love Chandler Parsons.
Yeah. It's, that will be, you know, forget about the Hall of Fame, just to localize it, the Ring of Honor. DeAndre Hopkins is one of the more interesting debates for that, just because he's got the chops. I mean, he's got the resume is, and we don't know what the criteria is yet. All we know is there's two Hall of Fame. If you got to be in the Hall of Fame or be on a surefire Hall of Fame track to get into the Ring of Honor, we might go 20 years before we get somebody else in there.
I would say where would you put, if you had to, if you had to make a decision between Arian Foster and DeAndre Hopkins, who would it be?
Wow, that's a tough one, man. I would
that's
go.
That's why I asked you.
Because
you're smarter than me, Sean.
I would say, because some of it is based on sentiment, and Arian is sort of reconnected with the team. You know, he ran the team out onto the field last year. That might be the tiebreaker. Like, Arian, too, was for three or four seasons among the best at his position. I've said all along, a healthy Arian Foster is one of the 5 or 10 best running backs I've ever seen.
Yeah, and so for the window in which they can produce is so small that it's hard with running backs because they kind of get, you know, you look at Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis, if he hadn't won a Super Bowl and if he hadn't been on those high-powered offenses, I don't know his lasting legacy would have been.
Yeah.
So it's hard to disentangle the actual emotion about the team itself and what was their ultimate level of success.
I would say Arian, and yet I think DeAndre Hopkins was a first-team All-Pro more times than Arian Foster was. That's the subjectivity on that. That's a really, really fun debate. Do I need to pender poll that one, Seth? Do I need to see what the
I don't know.
Say.
I feel so dirty after any of these Hall of Fame or Ring of Honor discussions because you end up
it
taking somebody you
guy.
Really, really like and saying like, no,
yep.
You're a loser.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm definitely putting up a Pender poll for sure. All right, Payne and Pender cast with you into the 8 o'clock hour we go. Hey, we got to get to this the story from Friday night. Actually, if you're a college sports fan, your world got turned upside down on Friday night by a ruling in a courtroom in California. We'll get to that.
California.
Is Nick Caserio a top 10 GM as well? There's an article that says yes.
We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. There's a yes. No. Maybe. We'll see. We'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Stay there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.